Well, on our podcast, I'm joined by Archbishop Bernard Longley, Archbishop of Birmingham. And we've been talking about eternity and how other religions look at eternity, what comes next. And so I'd like to start with that rather monumental, huge question. As Catholics see it, what comes next? What is our concept of eternity?
It's a great blessing to us, I think, as Catholics, that we have from the very beginning of our journey of faith, from baptism, our belief that we, in baptism, we die with Christ, and then we rise to new life with Christ. So the journey of faith from the very outset, from our experience of the sacrament, and also how we understand it, is one which links us with the new life which the Lord promises us in the kingdom of God. I think that has to be something that we reflect on, and indeed the Church's liturgy, year by year, calls that to mind, especially in this Easter season, because we're reminded as we come through the events of the death, the resurrection of the Lord, that we've entered into these, and this is part of our daily living. So we have already experienced in this life something of what it means to live the eternal life with Christ in the next life. I think alongside that, we do believe that this human life has a term, it's finite. We don't know when it will come to an end, and that's something that none of us can really predict. Though, of course, there are arguments that people put forward, as we know, about the end of life issues. But nevertheless, in order to look forward to the new life with Christ, it isn't something which is unrelated to our experience here and now. And therefore, that faith in eternal life, what next in eternity, actually lends a different perspective to our understanding of life here and now. It lends a context to the decisions that we make here and now. And it also, I think, in different circumstances, particularly challenging circumstances, circumstances of loss, of illness, of disappointment, it brings a different perspective, which if we only had the perspective of this present life, would be missing from our experience. So as human beings, there is something which is really important. And that's not to spiritualize or to concentrate entirely on the hereafter, as some devotional aspects of life might encourage us to do, but it is really to look for the balanced relationship between life in the here and now, the vocation that we have to live in this life, and our calling to eternal life.
Do you think perhaps we, as a lot of the people I've spoken to have talked about the importance of the here and now and its bearing on what comes next. And we pray for those that have died. We pray for their eternal rest. So we use the word eternal. But do you think sometimes we don't think enough about what comes next? And actually, it would be far better for us, and maybe we'd be more reconciled if we thought more about it now.
It's very easy, isn't it, to get caught up with the preoccupations of the present. And in fact, there is a significance to that too, because the present is all we experience. We have the past to reflect on, we have the future to look forward to. But our belief about eternity is literally that it is outside time, it is external to time. And therefore, we live the present moment, the eternal, the everlasting, as it were, and that's, we have to describe it in those terms, but the present with God and in God, and sharing in God's divine life. So it's natural, I think, that with the all our obligations, it may be within family life, maybe within work, so I say those concerns about health and our future and well-being, and wishing to plan for the future of our human lives, can sometimes overshadow the longer term, the perspective. I can recall, I suppose, first being aware of this through one of my spiritual directors when I was in formation for the priesthood, who taught me that little phrase, to look at things sub specie aeternitatis, under the aspect of eternity. And he meant it in particular in relation to life's little disappointments or the hurts or the wrongs that we experience. Set those under the aspect of eternity, and they're reduced to their real perspective. So don't let things get out of perspective, because the true perspective is the call to eternal life. And under that umbrella, things which can seem so important and significant in the here and now actually take on a different perspective. I found that very helpful, actually.
Finding it consoling now. So in terms of prayer, then, is that something that prepares us for what comes next?
Well, for us as Catholics, the most significant moment of prayer is the celebration of the Eucharist and the Mass. And again, in our sacramental life, we believe, and in particular in the Eucharist, that we have an experience of eternal life here on earth. And I know that's something which the liturgy is always trying to express as fully as possible. But the reality is that those moments of the death and the resurrection of the Lord are present in the Eucharist when we celebrate in the form of the supper with the consecrated bread and wine. But that we're experiencing something, we have a glimpse, we say a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. And that's one of those biblical images to speak of eternal life, which actually sees it in terms of a meal together around a table. The Eucharist is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in the kingdom of God. There's a conviviality, living together with others, and a communio in which we are linked with others. And as we know, that phrase, to be companions on the way, means to break bread together on the way. And I think there's a glimpse of that too in the Easter Gospel, of the disciples on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, becoming aware of his presence and sharing a meal with him, in the course of which he, of course, disappears from their sight. But it's a foretaste of eternal life, where the values of the kingdom of God are present and realised. And that, I think, is another important dimension of living in the here and now, under the aspect of eternity, that the values of God's kingdom are the things we strive for here and now, and they are encapsulated for us in the message of the gospel. So the gospel values are actually the values of the kingdom, which we experience in a limited way here and now, but which we believe we will experience in their fullness in the kingdom of God. So theologians talk about eschatology, the understanding of the last things at the end of time when we enter into the life of eternity. But we believe also in a kind of realized eschatology, that those values, justice and peace, the companionship of God's kingdom, equality, that they are also experienced here and now. And as Catholics, we believe that we experience them within the reality of life in the church. The church is not the same as the kingdom of God, but it is actually a foretaste, an experience of what it can be like to be within God's kingdom in this life.
And people have obviously their anxieties around death and dying and what comes next. And you get those questions, don't you? Like, will I see my husband or wife or my children or my family? You know, what state do we take on in the life after death?
Because I think the specifics of life after death remain beyond description for us. We can imagine, but we can draw upon the scriptures, and in particular, the vision of St. Paul. There is a sense in which the whole of creation is going to be transformed. Of course, there have been traditions that are rather more apocalyptic, that everything in creation will be destroyed and will begin again. But there is, I think, within St. Paul's vision, the realization that all that God has created is going to be redeemed. It is all subject to redemption. And as part of salvation, there'll be something that will be, I believe, the familiarity of relationships will be transformed. And we know in Jesus' teaching about marriage, for example, that they no longer live together as husband and wife in the kingdom. But the reality can't be any less than the experience that people have had in this life, if it is a glimpse of the reality of the relationships in the hereafter. I think also, I mean, coming from Birmingham, where, in fact, the Eternity event was hosted, I'm very conscious of the influence of St. John Henry Newman in his poem, The Dream of Gerontius, which again flows from his faith in redemption, the understanding of purgatory, which is part of our Catholic faith, that ultimately, however downhearted we may feel or uncertain or anxious, that the doctrine of purgatory actually means that nothing is beyond redemption. And our belief that even at the very end, the transition from this life into the next, which we call death, there is the prospect and the possibility of God's forgiveness and redemption. So it's part of the Catholic understanding, of course, of eternal life, where we've traditionally thought in terms of death and judgment, heaven and hell. But purgatory is a very important part of that, which relates the failings and the sins, which are a reality in our daily living, to the ongoing power of redemption, which is not taken away from us if we are open to it in the eternal life.
And we've had this event with followers of other religions, haven't we? And you would have thought that perhaps there'd be some differing opinions, some commonality. One of those common threads does seem to be that importance of living well in order to die well, wouldn't you say?
That's very true. And I think there is, first of all, on the basis of a shared belief that this isn't the only reality that there is. It's not, you know, this life and nothing else. That is something that we do share. And as I think I referred to it earlier, that it lends a different quality for each of the different faith communities. I was particularly pleased, in fact, that the Centre for the Art of Dying Well at St Mary's University in Twickenham brought this event to Birmingham, where there is a lively relationship at various levels between the six major faith communities. So to hear from the perspective of Muslims and Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, Christians and Jews, as we have done, it opens up, I think. You can see people's realisation that there is something fundamentally akin to one another in this belief that our understanding of life, which continues, thanks to God's providence and love, shapes our experience here and now. And therefore, that within each of those traditions, the sense of preparing well for the transition which death is, and it's not in order to gain for us the best possible life in the hereafter, but actually it's because we believe in eternal life that we want this life to be the best it can possibly be, not just for ourselves, but for others.
Now, final question. We really started the Art of Dying Well initiative off the back of, or inspired by, the medieval Ars Moriendi, the Art of Dying Well. And in those days, you had those rather scary prints in a way, didn't you, of the sort of right, family out, priest by the bedside, you need to be ready, you need to be ready to meet God. Whereas that's obviously true, and you've made that point, being at the bedside and having family around and loved ones is quite important, isn't it? So things have sort of changed in terms of those final moments with eternity in mind.
The element of fear and frightening people into doing living in a correct manner in this life, it has been, I think, superseded certainly by the gift of hope and the virtue of hope, which is an extraordinary gift from the Lord that we have. And that hope is based on what we already have received. And so the involvement of those who have helped to shape our lives, family members, husbands, wives, our children, those who are closest to us in our friendships and those with whom we collaborate and work alongside in the life of the church, are all bound up with our own story. It is important, yes, to prepare for the end of life as well as we possibly can, but hope and trust are bound up together with one another, and especially in the promise of Jesus and in those words which come to me from Good Friday and must be to many other people, that we long to hear the Lord Jesus say to us, "Today you will be with me in paradise," as we leave this earthly life. But it's something that we have to hear every day during the giftedness of this life.
Very well said. Archbishop Bernard, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, James. Every blessing to those listening.